If you would open your copy of God's Word with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. This morning we will be studying verses 8 through 20. While you're turning there in your copy of the scriptures, I will read the passage and then we will ask God for his help. So beginning now in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, hear now the word of the living and the true God. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we ask you for your help. We are weak and needy servants who need to be fed and nourished by your means of grace. And so we come before you this morning, opening your word, needing you to interpret it for us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Teach us what you want us to learn, Lord. Remove anything from within our hearts that would want to distort your word or that would want to use it for our own purposes. Rather, Lord, conform us to your will. Give us a higher view of you and a higher view of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who came to earth and died for our sins. Help us this morning, we pray, for we pray in the name of our Savior and our Mediator, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Christmas. Out of all the days that we have on the calendar, perhaps Christmas Day is the most anxiously anticipated of them all. There are an incredible amount of festivities that prepare us for the season of Christmas, from baking cookies to singing carols to watching our favorite Christmas movies to decorating the tree or the front yard to seeing family friends to having cocoa and cookies by the fire. There are so many things that make us anticipate and remember the day and the season of Christmas. And maybe the symbol or the picture that we most associate with Christmas, however, is that of a gift. As soon as you or I think about the season of Christmas, we automatically think about gifts. There are so many things to think about when it comes to gifts. Think about all the gifts that you will possibly be getting. Or maybe even more stressful than that, think about all the gifts that you are going to need to get for other people. A beautiful part of the gifts we give to one another is that we give them out of love for each other. We give gifts in order to display how much we love those around us. Should show them our appreciation and our thankfulness for them in our lives. This motivation of love can sometimes cause us to stress, though, especially as we are buying our gifts. Think about it. We reason that if we are getting these gifts for the people that we love, to show them our love, then it has to be the perfect gift, right? There can be nothing disappointing in this gift at all, for it needs to display to the person exactly how I feel about them. On the flip side of this, this is exactly why we treasure the gifts that we are given by those we love. We notice the thought and the time that the person spent and put into the gift that they gave us. They spent time thinking about us, what would bless us, what would show us that they love us when they were picking out our presents. And this brings us joy. This blesses us. All of these factors are compounded into what we think about when we think about Christmas gifts. And brothers and sisters, what we are studying today is something that makes your wildest dreams about the possible gifts you could get or the most wonderful Christmas you could experience to shame. For in this passage of Scripture, what we are reading about is the greatest gift ever given. For it is the gift of the Almighty and Eternal Lord to fallen humanity. It is not just any gift. It is not some gift that is great for a season and then quickly loses its worth, much like many of the gifts that we give to one another. No, this gift never loses its worth or its ability to draw our amazement. This gift is the gift of God's only begotten Son to be sacrificed for the sins of his people. This is an indescribable gift, a gift that we read about and that we have written countless hymns about, and a gift that is the very reason for why we give gifts to one another every single Christmas season. For this gift of God to us reveals to you and me the realities of the gospel. As we have been learning, the way that Jesus came into the world teaches us about who our Savior is and about what he has done for us. And today we are going to study another great portion of this great narrative about the birth of our Savior, a narrative that will teach us about the gift of Christ and what it means for you and me as believers in Christ. For this gift, this story is one that should leave you forever unchanged. Today we will study three aspects of the gospel that we are to see from the story of the shepherds and the angels, whom the gospel is given to, the nature of the gospel that we have been given, and the effect of the gospel. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The birth of Jesus Christ has been filled with one unexpected event after another. As we have already covered, Jesus does not come at all like we would expect a king to come. He is born in a manger due to the fact that there was no room in any inn in the town. He is born to peasants, the farthest thing from nobility. He was laid into a hole in the ground after his birth, made to lay with the stinky, vile animals in the most grotesque of places, in a place that everyone avoided, in a place that no one knew or wanted to know about. And this is not at all what we would ever expect to read when we read the narrative of our coming king. We would expect the most grand and royal entrance imaginable, with the whole world having prepared a grand parade, with the most wonderful decorations, with overwhelming amounts of the best food and the best dressed people. We would expect ordinarily that the coming of the King of all kings would be bigger than any holiday you or I celebrate or that any human being could come up with in their wildest imagination. And yet Jesus Christ, the Lord of all lords, comes to us in obscurity, with no fanfare or ordinary earthly glory, displaying to us the character of his ministry, that of humility and meekness, as the one who came to seek and to save the lost. And yet, before we think that Jesus' birth went without any notice whatsoever, Luke tells us that there was indeed an announcement of Jesus' birth that did take place. And yet, once again, this did not happen like you or I would have ever expected it to. For starters, the announcement comes from the mouth of angels. God tasks heavenly beings, not any human being of any high rank or standing, to announce the birth of Jesus Christ, signaling that a unique, a different event is taking place in the world. As we have learned in our study of Luke thus far, it is a terrifying thing to receive news from a heavenly being. They have been so close to the heavenly and holy presence of God that their presence instantaneously alerts men to their impurity, and it terrifies them. And yet what is even more astounding, what is even more surprising, is who the angels announce the gospel to first. They announce it to shepherds, and this makes absolutely no sense. You see, shepherds were almost the least desirable person you could be in the ancient world. The only thing worse than a shepherd was a leper. Shepherds were stereotyped as liars, as thieves. They were declared to be ceremonially unclean, unable to worship God in the temple or in any of Israel's festivals. Their testimony was even inadmissible in court due to their untrustworthiness. They were viewed as filthy, worthless, and no good. Why on earth would God send heavenly messengers to bestow upon these undesirables the gift of the gospel message. How do we make sense of this? Why has God decided to have his son enter into the world in this way? If you're familiar with the prophetic literature of the Old Testament, then you will know that God foretold that the gospel message will be given to shepherds and their flocks. The prophet Jeremiah himself foretells that this will happen in Jeremiah 33, when he says that, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place that is waste, without man or beast, and in all of its cities, there shall again be habitations of shepherds resting their flocks. In the cities of the hill country, in the cities of the Shephelah, and in the cities of the Negeb, in the land of Benjamin, the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, flocks shall again pass under the hands of the one who counts them, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." Why does God provide this glorious message of victory and salvation to lowly shepherds? You see, this announcement teaches us something vital about the gospel. By giving the gospel to shepherds, God is signaling that he gives the gospel to the worst of all people, to sinners, to beggars, to the lowly, to the undeserving, to the disgusting and to the wretched, to those who hate him and prefer their abominable sin over against his glory. By giving the gospel to shepherds, God is signaling to the world that he gives the gospel to the weak and to the poor and to the lowly. The gospel in this story is not given to the distinguished, to those who seem to have it all together, to those who are all buttoned up and perfectly holy. No, the gospel is given to the weak, to the ill, to those who deserve and expect nothing good. Brethren, the gospel is given to you and to me, for we are weak, despite how strong we think ourselves to be. You and I are dirtier than any shepherd or leper due to the natural sin that springs forth from our hearts. We are the lowliest of all. We are sick in our sins, and we hate God and all that has to do with him in and of ourselves. And we indeed are the lowliest and poorest of all. And yet, brethren, our God bids us to come and to rejoice. For the Savior of the world has come, and he is given to all who call upon his name. Indeed, the gospel is given to the weak and to the lowly. We have learned about who the gospel is given to, and now we will learn about the nature of this gospel message. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." As I mentioned earlier, being in front of an angel is a terrifying experience. So terrifying because it confronts one with the glory of the Lord. So terrifying that the angel has to say to the shepherds, "Fear not." The angel reassures the shepherds that they are not in mortal danger. They have nothing to fear, rather that they should be rejoicing. For the angels are bringing good news. They are bringing life-changing news to the shepherds on this night. The angels declare that this good news of great joy is the fact that in the city of David, a Savior has been born. And not just any Savior, not a temporary Savior who would save the Israelites from their temporal enemies alone. No, God has sent the coming Messiah, the Christ, unto Israel to save them from the greatest of dangers. He sent the Messiah to save his people from their indwelling sin, from the sin that made them rotten to their core and separated them from a holy God. Christ came to deliver them. Notice that the angel declares to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And we've noticed how shocking it was that this announcement was even made to the shepherds in the first place. And now the situation becomes even more shocking. For the good news that the Messiah has come into the world to provide salvation is declared to be for the shepherds as well. And not only for the shepherds, but this good news would be for the Jews and the Gentiles and for whoever places their faith in the name of Jesus Christ for their salvation. For the good news about Jesus does not stop at the manger. This is merely the beginning. The good news is that the Savior has come to redeem his people from their sin and their misery. This good news includes Calvary. It includes a resurrection. The angels also describe Jesus as the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah whom Israel had desperately hoped for. The angels describe Jesus as the Lord, signaling to the shepherds that their Messiah is also their God, who is delivering them from their enemies. Brethren, the nature of the gift of the gospel is that it is good news for us, just as it was for the shepherds. For the same reality still exists today, that whoever places their faith in the name of Jesus Christ will be saved from their sin and their misery and raised to newness of life. And this is the greatest of news. This is the news of the gospel, the good news that is the type of news that changes your life forever. For all of you who trust in Christ, you are secure in him. You are raised to a new life in Christ. God is continually changing you to be conformed to the image of Christ as the old continues to pass away. There is no sin or crafty scheme of the evil one that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ, for you are united inseparably to your Savior. Brethren, do not let this good news that it was announced 2,000 years ago somehow become dull to you. Be in awe of this good news as the shepherds were on the night of its announcement. Realize the mercy that has been given to you by your great God, that he has given you eyes to see and ears to hear the good news, the best news about Jesus Christ the Lord. Place your faith in Christ, for it is only faith in Christ that can bring you salvation. But the passage continues, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This announcement of good news made by the angels is immediately followed by the angels praising God. The dark night sky is instantly brightened as the host of heaven praises the Son of God in human flesh. This account of praise is very unique. Most times when we think about the worship of God, we think about the praise that we offer from ourselves up to God, the praise that is raised from the earth to the Lord. And yet on this night, on this most special of nights, it is entirely different. For the angels come down from heaven, praising God, signaling to us the majesty of our Savior, the Son of God who took upon himself human flesh, the one who received the praise of angels in heaven for all eternity, now receives the praise of angels appearing from heaven. The one who deserves all praise and adoration now humbling himself for the salvation of his people. And yet the uniqueness of what these angels do in coming down from heaven to praise God pales in comparison with the message that they recite. They declare peace on earth for those whom God is pleased. And this is absolutely astounding news. The coming of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the gospel, brings about true peace. At this point in world history that this story takes place in, it was commonly said that the emperor of Rome, who was the one who brought about peace on earth. However, it was common knowledge that this peace came at a cost. You see, the peace that the emperor brought came at the cost of human suffering, of human subjugation, at the cost of whatever it was that the emperor wanted in order for there to be peace. The peace that supposedly came from the emperor was not true peace. It was a facade that shifted whenever the desires of the emperor shifted. And this was completely different from the peace that Christ brings, because Christ brings true peace. He provides true peace with God and with our fellow man. By his coming into the world, sacrificing himself for us, Christ provides us peace with God Almighty. A peace that is absolutely necessary because without Christ's intervention, we are naturally at enmity with God. We are absolutely lost in our sin and in our misery apart from the peace that Christ provides in his atonement on our behalf. Jesus provides us with our greatest need as fallen and depraved human beings, and that is peace with God Almighty. And not only this, but Jesus also provides us with peace with our brothers and sisters in him. Christ alone is the very reason we have unity with one another. The very reason that we can gather in joy and in true unity is due to him. By his work on our behalf, he has changed us from the inside out, so that now you and I, as those who believe in Christ, we have peace with one another as those who have been saved by him. For there is peace among those with whom he is pleased. And by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, God looks on us with his favor so that now we can have true peace, both with God and with our fellow man. Luke then concludes this section. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Today, dear brothers and sisters, we have studied the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel given to sinners, the gospel of the deliverance from our sin and our misery, and the gospel that brings about true peace between God and man. The gospel that we have learned about today naturally causes a reaction. It naturally brings forth action from those whom it touches. In the case of the shepherds, they instantly went and worshiped the Lord incarnate and told everyone they knew about the good news of the gospel that had been given to them. Mary, when confronted with this gospel in an upfront and personal way, stored up the truths in her heart and pondered them, taking her time to mull over these things throughout her life until she came to fully accept all the truths about her son. There were many who most likely heard the story of the gospel that was given to the shepherds and thought that it was a lovely, or perhaps even an amazing story, and yet just a story, with the truth of God not penetrating their hearts, remaining set in their ways. And this raises an ever-important question for you and I as we think about these truths of the gospel that have been presented to us. What is the good news of Jesus Christ doing in your life? What impact or what change has it caused? Is this passage that we have read today merely a story to us? Something that you like to reminisce about during Christmas time? Is the gospel something that you think about only when you are here at church on Sundays or Wednesdays? Or has the gospel truly changed your life? Do you think differently now due to who your Savior has been revealed to be? Do you live differently now that you believe in the saving work of Jesus Christ on your behalf? For us, dear believers, the gospel changes everything. It changes the way we think, talk, act, and live our entire lives. Because the gospel is truly life-changing news, that our greatest enemy, sin, has been vanquished. That we have been set free from our former lives of sin and misery, raised to newness of life, and have been given peace with God that was lost formerly due to our sin. This, dear believer, is the good news of the gospel. It must shape the way that you live. It must shape the way that you do everything in your life. For those of you who do not believe in Jesus Christ, heed the words that you have heard from Luke today, that there is one Messiah, that there is one Lord, one Christ who can provide you with true peace with God, with freedom from sin, with eternal life. Trust in the name of the Lord by faith and have your sins cleansed by the power of the gospel. For it is Jesus Christ alone who provides you with true peace, true security, and true salvation. Dear brethren, this is the gospel, that Christ has come to earth and taken upon himself human flesh to free us from our transgressions and to raise us unto life. Hear these words and believe them, people of God, and rejoice, for your King has come. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, we come before you once more this morning and we rejoice. For indeed you have given us a great King, Jesus Christ the Lord, who humbly came down from heaven, took upon himself human flesh, became a real human for us, suffered the pain of living a human life, suffered the pain of being crucified on a cross for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. Oh Lord, please change us to live in light of the fact of the gospel, to live in light of the fact that our Savior has saved us from the greatest of all enemies, from sin. Oh Lord, please help us, because in and of ourselves we are weak and we are insufficient, but by Christ we are saved and by Christ we will be kept until the end. Help us this day and forevermore, we pray. In the name of Christ, our Savior and our Lord, amen.